Welcome to 20 Minutes and 2 Beers In. I'm JD.
Hey, everybody. This is Bobby.
Wow, you're very excited for episode 40.
I got to add extra excitement when I'm not in the same room as you, JD. Yeah. I want to make sure you're pumped up.
I am jacked and ready for this. Episode 144.
You're what and ready?
I'm jacked up. I'm ready.
Okay, good.
I'm jacked. I got some enthusiasm.
Good. Enthusiasm?
Enthusiasm.
All right.
We have a lot to talk about. It's been a while.
It has. You've been sick. What's the deal, dude?
Oh, my gosh. I apologize that my voice is scratchy now, but when we originally scheduled to record this, I called you, and I sounded like Kathleen Turner meets Harvey Fierstein.
That's a good way of putting it. I was just thinking, I was like, hey, why is Patty calling me from JD? Patty and Selma from The Simpsons calling me from JD's phone. What's going on here?
Yeah, it was bad. It was really bad. So hopefully my voice will hang out for a while. But I'm drinking something that's going to help.
What are you drinking?
I'm drinking Great Lakes Brewing Company, which we've had them before. Great stuff. I'm drinking the Elliott Ness.
Oh, delicious stuff.
Which is a great beer, amber lager, and you've been consuming as well. What do you have?
Well, I just finished a pumpkin ale from our good friends at the Wild Onion Brewing.
That is your favorite.
It's really good, and actually, my neighbor helped me to some whiskey just a minute ago, JD, just before joining.
Wow.
So, yeah.
So if this goes off the rails quickly,
it's going to be my fault. It's going to be all my fault.
Good, good. Well, we do have a lot to talk about. I was in London for the NFL, which is very exciting. We went to a concert last night we want to talk about.
Plus,
Hey, it's baseball season.
Yeah. Did it just start? I feel like we missed out on something here.
It's actually been a very exciting postseason so far. We're going to talk a little bit about the American and National League and what's going on in the AL and the NLCSs. So,
and we've got some great music for everybody. And as always, six pack of questions, last call, one stop away. JD, mine is going to help those single guys find the right lady for them.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I'm doing a service this episode.
Mine is nothing like that. Mine is a little disturbing. So
we always like to have something a little disturbing.
Exactly. So stick around. And we're back. And Bobby, there's nothing like going to a live NFL game.
Especially when you get to go to the home stadium, right? Your favorite team, and see them play.
Yep. Well, no surprise. I got to do that. And we talked about it a while ago. I was in London for the Vikings-Steelers game a couple weeks ago.
That's what happens when you're recording live.
Yeah, you're gonna occasionally,
when you're on location, you're going to have
arrested?
Some people.
Are you getting arrested right now?
I was not breaking into a person's car. That is not what's going on.
So, yes, I was in London for the Vikings-Steelers game. My wife's a big Steelers fan, and I, of course, a Viking fan. Met my brother and his oldest boy in London for the game. Spent 4 days there. Saw the sights, which were great. You know, Tower of London. Saw the Rock. I say it like that because my wife is like, Sean Connery would be proud. The Rock.
Absolutely.
And then, the Westminster Abbey. I mean, we did all the touristy things. We really did.
You got to.
It was
fine.
It was fun.
Yeah.
But game day. Well, okay. So they did
game night, kind of.
Well, they did the NFL experience on Saturday night. They shut down Regent Street, and what Regent Street is like a cross between the Magnificent Mile and Rodeo Drive.
All right. Okay, lots of stores.
High end, lots of great stores. But they shut a large portion of it off, the NFL did, for the NFL experience. And they had athletes there. They had all these stages with music and, cheerleaders. And I mean, they really did it up huge. Half a million people were there for that event. We did not make it. We got there as they were tearing it down. But to our defense, we were at the Tower of London singing about all the torture. And I'm like, I know this. I'm a Viking fan. I know torture.
Oh, you're not a Browns fan. You don't know true torture yet.
There is that. And then we stopped at a few pubs. And you've been to London, Bobby. The pubs are amazing.
Yeah.
And had tons of beer. And I took tons of pictures of the tappers. And they're on our Facebook page. So check that out. And you can see pictures from the game, pictures from London, pictures of all the beer we drank. And there's a lot of it. And you were right. It wasn't quite room temperature, but it was not cold. But it was good. Good London.
Yeah, ice. They know their stuff.
So
they'll take care of you with that.
Because of the pubs and dinner and everything, we got there late as they were tearing it down. But it sounded like it was great. And there were Viking jerseys everywhere. And so we're like, oh my gosh, there's all these Americans, you know, coming over for the game, you know, flying over from Minnesota, from Pittsburgh. Well, we quickly learned at the game that that wasn't the case. Gene Simmons of Kiss did the national anthem, which you're thinking, you know what, we're going to send over our best. We sent over Gene Simmons. And then they had some 14-year-old, like, champion mezzo soprano did God Save the Queen, and when they sang God Save the Queen, like, the place just was so loud. So you're like, wow, there are a lot of Brits here at this game.
Yeah,
so that was cool. And before the game, I expected more from the NFL as far as like the NFL fan experience. The NFL clearly had one goal before the game outside the stadium. And that was to make money. It was so much merchandise was sold. There was like a tent where like there's like an hour and a half wait to get through the tent. And that's just for merchandise. It was ridiculous.
Good thing you came in there already loaded down with your Vikings merch.
I had my Greenway jersey on. Nikolai had my nephew had his Favre jersey. My brother had an old school Brad Johnson jersey. So it was fun. It was fun with that, but they made so much money off of that.
What's the stadium like on the inside for game day? Like, what are they doing to make it feel like a real NFL game versus a football match?
Well, it starts outside as you're going in, and that's because outside they only served Budweiser products. Yes, you heard me right. So we're drinking Pride. We're drinking everything, and then we get to the stadium. Bud Light. So that made it feel like a real NFL stadium.
Yeah, there you go.
But you walked in, and once you walk in, you just feel like you're at a big stadium. Mm-hmm. Okay. And then you go to your seat, like the field, and again, this is a visual thing, so check it out on our Facebook page. But the field, they did up real nice. I mean, they really did. And it made it feel like a Vikings home game. There's Vikings logos everywhere, purple everywhere. Every seat in the stadium had a Vikings flag that people could wave. So they did that great. But you could tell differences. For one, looking straight across, because we had some nosebleedish seats, but they're still great seats on the 50-yard line. Mm-hmm. And looking every now and then, you look straight across the stadium, and you realize, wow, this place is huge. It is an enormous stadium. I went to go get a hot dog and nachos. No nachos. No nachos. And the hot dog line, they had hot dogs, but they were in the same line as like the main beer area. So good luck. But there are fish and chip stands everywhere. So we had fish and chips at the game, which was
all right.
It was delicious. You know, we win in Rome, Bobby. Win in Rome.
There you go. Or win in London.
Win in London. Sitting around us were a bunch of Pats. Or not expats, but we had a couple in front of us that were Steelers fans from Pittsburgh
area. Okay.
But then all Brits, all locals, I meant to say. And some of them hadn't seen the game before, and they're just excited to be there. And I will give so much credit to these these fans from Britain. For one, the NFL, they do this right. They get the excitement up. I don't, yeah, after being
they
there,
got to.
I don't think they could sustain a team there. And I know that's a long-term goal for the NFL because mm-hmm. I think it loses the allure once all of a sudden, okay, now it's 8 games plus, you know, 2 preseason games and then the playoff. I don't think they would support it that long. It would be great if they would, but mm-hmm. what they've got now is a good thing. And having 2 games there, it's going to be interesting. I know there was even talks of 4 games there.
Well, next year they're bumping it up to 3 games. They've already announced, so.
And there were talks to go to 4 after that.
Yeah.
And I just don't know if that'll work. Just talking to the people around us, they were just excited to be there for that experience.
Yeah. What was the media like? Did the media portray it as a big event as well, or did they?
Well, okay, so everybody there, I mean, it was a big deal. Anywhere you went in London, are you here for the game? You know, yeah. Go Vikings. You know, it was fun. So then you look in the paper, it's buried in the sports page after the game, the next day. You couldn't find it. You had to look for it, and it was a small article. It was buried. The media did not like it.
Really? They think of it as like an American takeover their country, or what?
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. And then we watched the news, and it was the last thing in the news, and they showed Adrian Peterson had a 60-yard run. They showed that, and then they showed another touchdown. And after that, they showed the same amount of time of people like flipping divots on the field and repairing the field because American football destroyed their
those darn
stadium.
Americans.
Yeah.
They treated us like we treat a Bon Jovi concert. Like
exactly.
Saturday Bon Jovi played at our football stadium. Ugh.
Oh my gosh. So it was very different from the reception we saw and we got to what the media portrayed. So, but overall, it was a wonderful experience. It was great to see the Vikings finally win a game and see Matt Cassel play well. I'm probably a once-in-a-lifetime thing, and I'm so glad we were able to go. I have to say it, a scarf.
Yeah, you were talking about it last week. You're kind of joking, like you're not going to get a scarf, but it's kind of addictive seeing it over there, right?
Well, it's one of those things like, when in Rome, and it half of the scarf is Vikings, half of it's Steelers with the date on it. So it's definitely something we want to keep. My wife's like, well, you're going to wear the scarf, aren't you? I'm like, no, well, that's not what these are for.
You got to hammer it up on the wall.
Yes, yes.
There you go. Put it in the man cave.
That's exactly where it needs to go, or we can even put it up in Studio 714. That would be cool.
Well, we'll hang up. I have a Broncos scarf. Can I hang up the Broncos scarf?
Wow, we're losing reception.
Okay. Uh-huh.
But no, Bobby, it was a great experience, and I am anxious to get back to London just to see the city again.
Yeah.
If I went again, maybe I go to a footy game.
Hey, look at you.
And this is why, and I'll close with this.
Okay.
These people embraced the NFL. They didn't know the game. Mm-hmm. They were so willing to learn. And the people from Pittsburgh in front of us, they left with about 8 minutes to go in the game. They're checking the train.
I'm
like, you flew across the pond.
Yeah.
But all these Brits stayed. And they were so excited. And we were on the train with some of them on the way back. These guys were from Scotland or Ireland. Mm-hmm. But they were just singing and having a great time.
Yeah.
Like, they loved it and they embraced it. And it made me feel like I'm such an a-hole for being so bad about the freaking game of soccer, which still is horrible.
Oh, come on.
We did sit next to one guy who is a rugby player.
Mm-hmm.
Sat next to him on the tube. And he said, you know what the difference between soccer and rugby is? We're like, no, what's the difference? He goes, well, in soccer, for 90 minutes, they try to convince you they're hurt. In rugby, for 90 minutes, they're trying to convince you they're not.
That's a man's game right there.
It is. I love that game. But great time. Loved it. It was a wonderful experience. Pictures on Facebook. Check them out. Bobby, do you got some music for us?
I do, and I'm going to bring us some UK music for in honor of your trip, JD. This band, their album Holy Fire came out in February, but they have a live album, Live at the Royal Albert Hall, which is coming out in a couple weeks on October 28th. The band's name is Foals, and this song is called My Number.
Bobby, that was My Number Two, right?
Hey, what's that supposed to mean?
I'm just saying, that was the name of the song. That's what
it's
they said.
It's My Number. My Number is the name of it. It was a pretty good track.
It wasn't bad. At first, it sounded like Duran Duran.
Yeah. I don't know about that.
It's not bad. It's not your best.
But, I was doing it in honor of you, JD.
Thanks, buddy.
I learned it from watching you.
Oh, yeah. Right? Wow. Let's talk.
JD, we'll talk playoffs.
Playoffs?
Not practice. Playoffs. Baseball, we never really talked baseball this year. But I think it was because there was a little bit of apathy between the two of us for our respective baseball teams.
By the way, you know our respective baseball teams finished with the identical records.
Really?
Yeah.
That's not a good thing.
No, we both were pretty bad, but it's an exciting time.
Yeah.
It was. I've watched the playoffs so far. Really pulling for Pittsburgh.
How'd that work out for you?
Not so well. Not so well. But
no?
You know what? What an amazing season for Pittsburgh.
Absolutely.
Especially for a team finished with 27th in Major League Baseball and salary to do that well.
Yeah,
it was exciting, but the National League race is still it's going to be interesting with St. Louis and the Dodgers.
Yeah, and they're actually playing game one as we're recording this, but a really great pitching matchups. I think you've got two of the best pitchers in baseball with Clayton Kershaw of the Dodgers, Adam Wainwright of the Cardinals. They're not going to be facing each other head to head. At least early on, unless they can line it up if we get a game seven, which would be glorious.
Yeah.
Clayton Kershaw's pitching game two, and the Cards are throwing Michael Wacha up there, who's a rookie, which is kind of the MO of the Cardinals this year. They've had a lot of a big youth movement, especially pitching-wise, which has helped lead them along. Now, the things that you love about the Cardinals, I broke it down, JD, in why you should be rooting for the Cardinals and then why you should be rooting for the Dodgers. Because the way that you and I are right now, the teams that we have obviously are nowhere near being contenders. But there were teams that we were rooting for. We were rooting for the Pirates. I was rooting for the A's or the Rays. And that didn't pan out. So now we've got the powerhouse St. Louis Cardinals, who they last won in 2011, and it seems like they win every other year.
Yeah.
The Dodgers, whose owner group has just been Magic Johnson now, like he deserves a World Series ring. and on the other side, you have the Tigers and the Red Sox. So big market teams and great history teams that are playing in this. So we don't have dogs in this fight. So what I'm trying to give for us is reasons why I would love to root for this team, why I want this team to win, or what I'm looking for. And that's what I'm giving you, JD, from the NL, why I like the St. Louis Cardinals. First off, Yadier Molina, one of the Flying Molina brothers, absolutely astounding career year this year at the plate. He averaged 319 at the plate, which was, I believe, he led the NL. He had the most hits in his career, most RBIs in his career. Absolutely could not have a better season. And he's the reason why their pitching staff does so great. You see him command a game behind the plate. He's also a great defensive catcher, will throw out guys pretty easily from behind the plate. The Cardinals are a team that's a small ball team this year. They score a lot of runs, though. Just because you hear small ball, you think, okay, it doesn't hit a lot of home runs.
Well, that's exactly the point. They have five regular starters boasting on-base plus slugging totals in the league's top 20. I mean, they've got some hitters.
Yeah, they're bottom in home runs, but they led the NL in runs scored, most runs this year. So they put a lot of people across the plate. So that's why they're a fun team to play. If you like grinders, as some people like to call them, guys that just get doubles, get base hits, move guys along, that's what these Cardinals are this year. They're not the team with Pujols slugging it out. I mean, they do have sluggers on the team, don't get me wrong. They have Beltran. They still have Matt Holliday. But they move the ball on the ground, which is what gets them going. Now, if you love the long ball, you love the Dodgers because they have those power hitters. They're stereotypical power hitters like Hanley Ramirez, Adrian Gonzalez, guys that will hit the ball real hard and real far. They also have Yasiel Puig, who is probably the story of the baseball season this year. Just absolutely crushed it. And in the playoffs, they were continuing to crush it. They were combined, Hanley Ramirez, Yasiel Puig, and Adrian Gonzalez combined hitting 400 for the playoffs with 12 RBIs and 22 hits between them. They also have the beard. Fear the beard, the person that everybody loved with the San Francisco Giants as their closer, Brian Wilson, with the dyed dark black beard. He's now in their bullpen, although he's not a closer for them. He's a setup man. But he was crushing it in the first series. So we'll see if they can keep that going. If you like Brian Wilson, you like power hitting, you like them, you also got to love their pitching staff, which in the led the leagues in with ERA 3.25 ERA. So that's how they won their games this year, that pitching staff.
Well, I mean, Hanley Ramirez and Gonzalez, I mean, Ramirez batting, you know, 500 in the postseason, and Gonzalez leading the team all season, batting average, home runs, RBIs, hits. I mean, just absolutely, you know, that combination right there is amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, so they're a really fun team to watch if you like the hitters. But that series, the history between the Dodgers and Cardinals, I mean, that's baseball. If you look at those two teams, that's what I guess both stadiums are absolutely glorious stadiums. They both have former players as their managers. They just every part of that is baseball.
Yep. You know, two fun points I've got, you know, for the Cardinals. Center fielder John Jay's nickname is the Federalist. I don't know if you knew that. It's a reference
to the Federalist.
The reference to the work of founding father of the country, John Jay. And for the Dodgers, all right. Danny DeVito is a big Nick Punto fan. He comes to the games in his Nick Punto jersey.
Oh, boy.
Former
twin. He's the only guy in there in a Nick Punto jersey.
Former twin Nick Punto, my wife's favorite, you know, twin of all time, I think. But those were my two fun facts of those teams.
Excellent stuff, JD.
All right, on the American League side, it is pretty exciting. I know one of our listeners is a huge Detroit fan. We've got a few, I'm sure. But Detroit, number one in batting average, second in runs, second on base, second in slugging, top 10 in all pitching stats in baseball. Victor Martinez, an impressive 375 in the postseason. And then you can't even talk about Detroit without talking about Miguel Cabrera. Cabrera unbelievable. Banged up a little bit late in the season, so his power numbers suffered a little bit there, but I mean, still hitting 348, you know, 44 home runs. The guy is absolutely amazing. Then when you look on the mound, Verlander, you know, kind of a substandard regular season for him, if you look at historically, but in the postseason has already been just lights out strong.
Yeah.
So that's to me, that's the key, is Verlander, and then they're going to get the hits. Absolutely, yeah. Going to get the hits.
Playoffs wise, getting the hits is always the question, because you regular season last year, the Tigers did the same thing. They were a great hitting team, and that's what you thought about. As soon as they get to the playoffs, okay, these guys have the power to just muscle through it. They have the league MVP on their team, and then they just kind of pooped the bed.
Well, I mean, and that's a solid point. And my random fact about Detroit solidifies that. Justin Verlander, before his starts, he gets 3 crunchy taco supremes with no tomatoes, a cheesy gordito crunch, a Mexican pizza with no tomatoes from Taco Bell. He is an American hero. So I've got to come with the fun facts.
There you go.
But let's look at Boston.
The Boston Redbeards? Is that what their team is going as this year?
They were last in the AL East in 2012, right?
Mm-hmm.
To first. And that's with trading away their 3 highest paid players. They got better without Carl Crawford, Adrian Gonzalez, and Josh Beckett.
Yeah.
They're first or second in all major hitting categories, middle of the pack in pitching. So they're winning with hitting. Jacoby Ellsbury playing well, hitting about .500. Dustin Pedroia, salty too, 5 ribbies in the postseason. D. Ortiz is playing great. Big Poppy, former Twin.
Wasn't he supposed to be done a few years ago?
He was. Every year it's like, nah, he's done. He's done. He comes back and he keeps playing well. And then Jake Peavy changed his socks this season and pitched 10 games with Boston with 159 ERA.
Look at that. Changed his socks.
You
that's
like that?
Well done. I like that.
But honestly, yeah, and that's my odd fact. They're dedicated to beards, and they're doing beards well.
Mm-hmm.
So, all fun aside, they are, I don't know, this matchup is one that definitely gets me excited, because this matchup has the potential for a lot of offense.
Yeah. Yeah, I think the pitching staff alone, just seeing Detroit Tigers, their pitching staff scares me with how talented that group is. Max Scherzer has had an amazing year for them. But then going up against the Red Sox, who just cool and confident baseball team. When you see that team in the playoffs, you always know nobody is shaking. Nobody's nervous about anything. Those guys just can go up and hit through anything. It doesn't matter who they're facing, which is why they're going to be a formidable opponent for the Detroit Tigers. This World Series is going to be a good one, even though I'm disappointed that the Pirates aren't going to be able to do it, or the Oakland Athletics. An interesting thing, JD, and I don't know your thoughts on this, but it's also going to be the 23rd and final World Series of Tim McCarver. Now, say what you will about him, he's kind of the John Madden of baseball announcing.
I do like Tim McCarver, so yeah. That is something
to know.
That's
another reason to watch.
So real quick, Bobby, who do you have in the World Series?
You know, I got to say St. Louis Cardinals. I think they're young, but I'm confident in that team when it comes to being in the playoffs. And I think on the other side, I just don't know that the Tigers, I'm going to root for the Tigers, but I'm going to say that the Red Sox are going to go to the World Series. It'll be an all red World Series.
Wow.
With it going to a game 7.
Wow.
And the winner of that game 7 is going to be the St. Louis Cardinals.
Hey, that's amazing. And obviously you're wrong. it's going to be the Cardinals and the Tigers.
Okay.
And I'm giving this one to the Tigers.
T-Grace, you know, home field advantage goes to the NL this year.
I just have a good feeling about Detroit this year. So, Bobby, we're going to move on real quick. And before we go to my music, I need to set this up.
Okay.
We were at a concert last night, one I've looked forward to for a long, long time. We
absolutely
went to Mark Lanegan. I've played him on the podcast a number of times. Solo artist. He's collaborating with a number of people. Former lead singer of Screaming Trees. Sang for Queens of the Stone Age, Mad Season, among others, and just a veteran.
Yeah.
Just absolutely an amazing veteran. And we went with our wives, who did not know what they were going to go listen to, and they were troopers. They were troopers. Because I you know, the concert, I know more than all of us, meant more to me because I've been a fan of Mark for a long time. We're on a first name basis.
Oh, yeah. You play him all the time. So you move merchandise for him.
I do. He's a veteran. There's no small talk. He's going to sing and then he's
to the point. Yeah.
Yep. He's going to sing, finish the song, clap, say thank you, go to the next song. And not a lot of showmanship because he's just set the mic and, but just absolutely, his voice sounds like his albums. I thought he was great. The big surprise of the night for me, Bobby, was the warm-up act.
Yeah.
The opener was Sean Wheeler and Xander Schloss. Chances are you haven't heard of these guys. But based on their resumes, they're solid. Sean Wheeler was with Throw Rag, and Xander Schloss, unbelievable guitarist. I mean, the guy was great. He's got a nice, like, tenor voice. But he was with the Circle Jerks, the Weirdos, and Joe Strummer. You played stuff he did, I believe, in season one. So
yeah.
I was a big fan of their performance. I thought they did great.
So is that what you're giving us this week?
I'm going to give us Sean and Xander, and this song is called So Low She Rose.
Taking it for two. Gonna need a checkup. Filing for a straight up. A dinosaur's wake up to get me back to size. So low she rose, up like the sun, up like the sun, up like the sun. So low she rose, up like the sun, bringing my newness to bloom. Sending off a message, flashing, walking through. Dizzy from the doctor, will this key get me through? Thank you for the checkup, filing forward straight up. A dinosaur's wake up to get me back to size. So long she rose, up like the sun, up like the sun, up like the sun. So long she rose, up like the sun, bringing my newness to bloom. So long she rose, up like the sun, up like the sun, up like the sun. So long she rose, up like the sun, bringing my newness to bloom.
Such a fun show. They did really well. I really enjoyed them. So, but Bobby, it's time for a six-pack, and we need music for that.
We should start that?
Now. Well, we were not on sync. It's obvious we've missed.
Yes, missed well.
Again, 3, 2, 1.
Now.
Okay.
All right.
And the good thing is, Bobby, that I won again.
Yes, so that means I'm starting us off with questions.
Yes.
You get to have the grand finish. So, JD, I want to know, we talked a couple weeks ago about fall TV, the fall TV lineup, and I want to know what has been your surprise show of the fall season so far?
I haven't had a chance because of the travels and whatnot to see a lot of new shows. But what I have watched that wasn't new, but, you know, continuation, but just continues to take it up a notch.
Yeah.
Is New Girl. I thought It's incredibly funny. Parks and Rec is right up there too, but those two are extremely funny. And there's some other shows that are right away taking some odd turns, like Homeland and Criminal Minds. So far, not disappointed in a thing.
Nice.
So, Bobby, Jadeveon Clowney.
Mm-hmm. Jadeveon
Clowney. Jadeveon.
Mr. Clowney.
He didn't play because of strained rib, bruised rib, issue. And then he's potentially going to play this week. If you're a South Carolina fan, how do you feel about him pulling himself out, playing when he wants to play type of thing? Hey, I'm not saying that he's not injured, but,
yeah,
you know, it's people play through stuff.
The guy publicly took out an insurance policy on himself before the season began. And I know a lot of college players do that already, but his was the most notable that everybody had to know about. We know you're going to be a high first rounder, but you also need to play football in order to show that you deserve to be a high first rounder. Right. And he's not had a great year this year. For somebody who was touted by a lot of people as the greatest college football player, and he could already be playing in the NFL, he certainly has not shown that this year. And I think part of the reason why he's not playing is maybe he is banged up, and so he's worried he's going to hurt his draft stock if he has a bad game. So he's just pulling himself all the way from the games, which I don't think is right. I think if I'm a South Carolina fan, I'm disappointed in what he's provided for our team this year.
Yep.
JD, what's the best thing you put in your mouth when you were in England?
The fish and chips. When we first got there, and not just any fish and chips, the place we ate at, I mean, this restaurant goes back to like 1600s, 1700s in Portsmouth. And the fish and chips there were just amazing. That was good. And also, we ate at this tiny little Indian restaurant in the Soho area, and it was great. London is known for its Indian food.
Yeah.
And it did not disappoint. There was like five tables in there, and it was great. It was great. Loved it.
Outstanding.
Loved it. Bobby, not only the World Series is going to be coming, as is Bobby's baby.
Yes.
And yeah. You right got your
the corner.
You got your to-go bag ready to go.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
What snacks are in the to-go bag for you?
I have a trail mix. I have almonds.
Safe
I
choices.
Have a couple of granola bars. And then I have a bunch of change to buy stuff from the vending machines.
Okay.
That's the snack lineup right now as it sits. But the trail mix is pretty good. There's cranberries in there, JD, and dried cherries. That's a pretty solid. That's a pretty solid trail mix.
Well, that sounds manly, Bobby.
Very manly.
We've got cranberries, and we've got some different types of berries.
In our and trail almonds. Mix. Almonds. And
we just got lots of nuts.
Absolutely. Oh, boy. You picked up some bad traits over there in England, JD.
Yeah.
JD, I don't know if you saw this or not, but in the Oakland A's-Detroit Tigers series, there was a reverse Bartman of sorts where a Detroit fan reached over and kind of robbed the Oakland Athletics player of possibly grabbing a home run ball. And so it was declared a home run. So Detroit gets the home run. Their fan, they can credit their fan for it because otherwise it looked like it was going to get caught. and who knows the connotations, what could have happened after that. My question for you, though, is does baseball need to either create a rule where fans that interact with balls in play get kicked out, or do they need to have the stadiums designed so that they can block the fans from interacting with a live ball?
Fair question. No, you don't kick them out. I mean, it's natural to go for the foul ball. I mean, since the beginning of the game, fathers go to games with their sons with they bring gloves so they can try to catch. But you do need to tweak the stadiums just a little bit to give a little clearance. And I know they have it so the fans are as close to the game as possible. But in those instances, you need to give some space. And I think it's take a row of seats out and put a planter there or something like that. But I think that's what needs to happen, because no matter what, fans are going to try to go and get a ball. So
yeah.
I really think they've got to change that. Bobby, the Broncos, 27.5 point favorites against the Jaguars.
Yeah.
There's a lot of talk about benching Peyton Manning and not playing him this week, because why? You're going to win that big anyway. Why risk getting him hurt?
Sure.
Would you bench Peyton Manning this week?
Absolutely not. Not a question in my mind. I think there's also a certain amount of gamesmanship that you owe as a NFL player, as an NFL coach. You owe that to the team that you're playing against. You don't go in there and disrespect them right off the bat by taking your best player off the field before the game's even begun. Because this is the NFL. Anybody can win. Any given Sunday is the phrase, JD. An 0-5 team can beat a 5-0 team. We've seen already in this NFL season teams coming from behind late. We've seen teams that shouldn't have won win games. So, no, you absolutely keep him in there. You have him play, and I think he's probably the same way. He's not going to want to sit out a game either.
Excellent.
There we go, JD. I think it's time for the last call, one stop away.
Closing time. Open all the doors and let you out into the world.
What do you got for us, Bobby?
All right. So, JD, I don't know what your courting was like with your wife, but mine was not like what this woman in New York is doing. Stephanie Smith has a blog up. It's called 300sandwiches.com. And the reason why it's 300sandwiches.com is because her boyfriend told her one day when she'd made him a sandwich, you're 300 sandwiches away from an engagement ring. And so as a result of that, she started and she blogs about every single sandwich that she makes for him.
Is that a pressure? That seems like pressure.
I don't know. But her sandwiches are pretty incredible. She's made her blog as of now. And she's on sandwich 186, so she's only 114 sandwiches away from a ring. But her sandwiches, she also puts all the recipes on them. But they're pretty insane sandwiches that she makes for her boyfriend. So kudos to him for getting 300 sandwiches out of the deal.
Potentially, he's going to bail at $2.99.
Oh boy, that would be
for the sandwich.
Hey, maybe she gets a book deal out of it or a movie deal or something out of it. But, 300 sandwiches. I don't know. I think if I had said that to my wife when we were dating, hey, only 300 more of these sandwiches and you're going to get that ring, I think she would have been walking out that door. I don't think she would have been making a blog.
No, not at all. But, like you said, she's going to make money off this. She's going to have some sort of book deal. And yeah, she's gonna make money. That's a lot better than what happened to mine, Bobby.
What's that?
Yale University police are investigating a series of laundry tampering incidences carried out by a perpetrator at the Connecticut school. students using the school's Saybrook College laundry room reported clothes were soiled. And they're upset.
Uh-oh.
Because the culprit, who they haven't caught yet, already has a nickname. The Poopitrator.
Oh, no.
The laundry was soiled with urine, food waste, and feces.
Oh, come on now.
Oh, yeah, exactly. The Yale Daily News says, we've asked our students not to leave their laundry unattended. The affected machines have thoroughly been disinfected. And we're actively seeking information. That's about all we can do right now. The culprit or culprits that were dubbed the perpetrator by students after this one woman's clothes were soiled by what appeared to be human excrement while in the laundry room's dryer. So somebody pooed in the dryer And then their clothes got all dried up with the poo. So, yeah. It's not like this just happened once. A series of times. So somebody's getting drunk, going, you know what we should do? We're going to go poop and pee in the laundry. So.
Oh, boy. Yeah. Our podcast is always bringing up, I mean, we are raising the bar on what intelligent conversation is all about.
And you know what? Hey, Harvard, Yale, these things are happening at Ivy League schools.
Apparently. Hey, I'll tell you, Indiana University did not have a poop problem when I was there.
So you are not the poop-a-traitor.
I am not the poop-a-traitor, JD.
That's good to know.
Yeah.
Good to know. All right, well, episode 144 in the books. Thank you guys so much for putting up with this scratchy voice. And also for our absence while I was in London. So very excited to be back. And
absolutely.
Go to Facebook and check out those pictures. It's pretty fun. So till next week, we'll see you. I'm not afraid to turn around
to see you by my side. Very manly.
We've got cranberries, and we've got some different types of berries.
And almonds.
We just got lots of nuts.